In John 5:39, Jesus states, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is they that bear witness about me." The Issues Etc. book of the month for April is The Messiah, Revealing Jesus in the Old Testament. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about The Messiah at issuesetc.org. The Messiah, Revealing Jesus in the Old Testament, The Issues Etc. book of the month.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and
there are really two great centers of Christianity in the very early church. The one, of course, is Jerusalem, the origin of Christianity right there, the Jerusalem church. But the other one is Antioch. And the second one, Antioch, is largely associated with the ministry of St. Paul and of his one-time companion, Barnabas. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson today, talking about the church in Antioch in Acts chapters 9 and 11. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why were the Jerusalem Christians wary of Paul after his conversion?
Well, you can imagine that Paul, who had been known as Saul, had been not only imprisoning Christians, but having some of them put to death. And so to hear that suddenly he was now a Christian, that would be really difficult to believe. And so they were not very confident that he could be trusted, thinking that maybe he was just trying to get involved with them to find out who the Christians were to arrest them and send them, of course, into imprisonment.
How were they eventually persuaded to receive Paul?
This is important because there was another disciple of the Lord. His name was Barnabas. And the name Barnabas, by the way, means son of encouragement. And what happened, it says in verse 27 of Acts 9, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road to Damascus he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus." Now, this is critical, because this is one of the few times that Jesus appeared to somebody after his ascension into heaven, and he did so to Saul. And so he also explained that Paul went about among the people in Jerusalem preaching boldly in the name of the Lord, and he even spoke and disputed against the Hellenists. Now, the word Hellenists are Greeks who are Jews, but they're Greek-speaking Jews, and they're not yet believers. And he spoke and disputed among them, but they were seeking to kill him. And so when the brothers heard this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus.
So Luke tells us that the churches were, quote, "walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied." What does that mean?
Yes, verse 31. "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied." Now, this is really important to understand, because there were a couple of times when the apostles, when they were preaching the word of God or doing a miracle, people wanted to worship them. But this lesson is not about the disciples had power to convert anyone. No, it was the word that they spoke about Jesus and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So when it says it multiplied, people came to faith. Not long ago, we went over the lesson where they healed a man who was lame from birth. That means he had never walked since he had been born. He was 40 years old, and the apostles met him at the gate of Beautiful at the temple, and he was asking for alms, but they said, "We got something better for you." And they lifted him up and he began to walk, and he was jumping around rejoicing that he had been healed. It says in that context that about 5,000 men were converted to Christianity as they heard the apostles preach about Jesus. So the big point that needs to be made by the Sunday school teacher is that the church multiplied. It became numerous, numerous Christians, numerous congregations, because of the preaching that was done about Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit in creating faith in these people. And that's what that means, that the church was multiplied.
Luke talks about Christians that are fleeing persecution. What persecution is that in Acts 11?
Yes, in Acts 11, we have, of course, the great martyrdom of no one less than, of course, the person who was put to death by stones. And we know who that was, because it was Stephen. Stephen was proclaiming the message, and they stoned him to death. And when he was stoned, he said much the same that Jesus had done on the cross, namely, that they should be forgiven and that he would be received in the Spirit by God in heaven. And because of the persecution that arose over Stephen, there were many who traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, and they were speaking the word of God at that time to nobody but the Jews. And so something is going to be changing when they get to Antioch.
Why were the Christians there that had come from Jerusalem only preaching to the Jews at first? What was their thinking?
Well, their thinking was that Jesus, being Jewish, that was a message for the Jews, and therefore they were not really speaking that much at all to the Hellenists. Remember, Paul was converted on the road to Damascus for a specific reason from God's point of view, that he was going to be the apostle to the Hellenists, and that is to those who spoke not like regular Jews and didn't believe in Jesus. They were speaking Greek, and also to the Gentiles. And so it wasn't common at that time to be speaking to Gentiles. Remember, Peter refused to eat with the Gentiles and Jews when Jews came from Jerusalem at one time. And Paul reprimanded him, saying that he was destroying the purpose of the cross of Christ in not eating with both Jews and Gentiles. So even Peter had that problem for a bit. And so it's not at all unusual that when the people were going around, they were speaking primarily to the Jews. What happened, as you asked about in Antioch, that there were some of them, men of Cyprus, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists. Remember, the Hellenists are Greek-speaking non-Jews. And when they spoke to them, they were preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. And the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and so they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And so when he got there, he saw the grace of God at work and was very glad. He exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And verse 24 of chapter 11 says, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So, what happened? Barnabas, when he went there, decided to look for Saul, went to Tarsus, and when he found him, he brought Paul to Antioch. And then for a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. But what's important about Antioch is that they began to recognize that the Holy Spirit was also falling on the Gentiles. In fact, chapter 11, the first part of it, kind of gives a summary of Peter's vision when he was on the roof and a great blanket came down filled with unclean food. God told him to eat it. Three times he had to tell him. And he said, no, I've never eaten unclean food. But then he learned that the Gentiles were then considered who he thought were unclean, had been cleaned by God by the death of Christ on the cross. And he therefore reported to the church that he went to a Gentile family, and the name of the man was Cornelius, and his relatives were with him. And when he started preaching about Jesus, then they all began to believe in Jesus Christ in the same way that the apostles did, in the speaking of tongues, etc. And so they were baptized. And so the verse 18 says in chapter 11, to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. And so this is all happening also in Antioch after both Barnabas and Paul had come there and had preached for a whole year.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the church in Antioch in Acts chapters 9 and 11. When we return, we hear from the prophet Agabus. When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Does this sound like your church budget process at the end of the year? You get last year's budget and go through with a committee line by line, maybe what we should spend next year. Maybe you have a prayer. But where's the Word of God in this process? When do the people hear what the small catechism says about giving and why we do it? Contact us at LCMS Stewardship so that we can help you fix this process, put the Word of God first, and put your congregation on a good footing. LCMS.org/stewardship.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's Fables and classic children's literature, math, and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.
175 years ago, 14 congregations gathered in Chicago, Illinois, and signed the constitution of what would become the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now you might ask, why did they form another Lutheran church body? Well, if you've ever wondered such a question, then you need to pick up the April issue of the Lutheran Witness, which is all about our Lutheran heritage 175 years. To get your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel on the church in Antioch in Acts chapters 9 and 11. So we then meet the prophet Agabus. What was the message that he brought to the Christians in Antioch?
Yes, Agabus was a prophet, and he had come from Jerusalem to Antioch. And he stood up and he said, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there would be a great famine over all the world. And this took place in the days of Claudius. So it's a historic fact. So what did the disciples do? How did they respond to Antioch? The disciples determined that everyone according to his ability would send relief to the brothers living in Judea, because the Jewish authorities would help out widows and others, but they refused to help out those who had become Christian. And so they did not receive the food that they needed, and therefore there was a call to do that. And this is very important for the children to understand, that particularly as members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we also desire to help others, especially through what's called Lutheran World Relief. And they can do a little study of that and see the many places that are in famines or natural disasters occurring, like earthquakes, tornadoes, where the Lutheran World Relief is helping to send money. And this is very, very important that the church kind of does what Barnabas did to help one another. And it's very important for the kids to understand how the church has multiplied. For example, here in St. Louis, in the surrounding area, we have over 110 Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations. And to hear how they came about, so also God used the Holy Spirit and multiplied the church today. And how did he do that? Well, yes, there are definitely pastors and teachers and Sunday school teachers, parochial school teachers, but none of it would have been multiplied properly had it not been for the word of God that they were preaching. And so we need to help the children understand what it means to be a Christian. And that's one of the examples and one of the teachings that Enduring Faith and Concordia Publishing House puts out. Namely, have the children describe who a Christian is and what a Christian believes. Like in Antioch, they were followers of Jesus. So also are we. We believe that God created us and he takes care of us. We believe that Jesus died and rose to save us from our sins. We know that those who trust in Jesus, it's the only way to heaven. One who believes Jesus has been redeemed and rescued from sin. And one who has been called by the Holy Spirit can believe in the triune God. And that all leads to the life of sanctification, which is our response of having been saved, or justified, which means we now love our neighbor and also help those in need. So these are examples of what Christians are. And they have an activity that I think is pretty good. They tell the teacher to take a color construction paper, tape the edges to make it look like a megaphone. And you can even have the students decorate and color their paper with phrases like good news, Jesus loves you, etc. And then have the students practice using their megaphones to tell about Jesus. So the whole Sunday school lesson has one goal. First of all, to make it clear that in Jesus, our sins have been forgiven, but that we are to be like Barnabas and Paul in reaching out to others to tell them about the good news. Now, the way we did that in the congregation I was at for many years, we would have the children during the summer ask their neighbors who were not members of the church to come to vacation Bible school. We had it for 5 days. We did projects. There was great entertainment. And then we would invite the parents on the last day as we had a meal and they could see the projects the students did. So there are ways that the Sunday school children can be like Barnabas and Paul in reaching out and multiplying the number of Christians.
How does the church continue to grow and multiply today?
It continues to grow through word and sacrament. We refer this as the means of grace. Well, what does that mean? Well, grace is where God distributes the free forgiveness of sins, many, many blessings, and eternal life. How does that come about? It doesn't come about just by telling people to be believing in God, because an unbeliever can't do that. But it comes about by sharing what Christ has done for them on the accursed cross during his life, his resurrection, and his ascension, and that he's coming back on the last day. And the Holy Spirit takes those words which we say and creates faith in the hearts of believers through this means of grace. So the means of grace are word, that's saying from the Bible, the promises of the gospel, and also the sacraments, holy baptism, even for little infants, as well as adults, and the Lord's Supper, which again gives us an assurance that the forgiveness of sins is ours, because in those sacraments, God promises to give the assurance of the forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all believers. And so the church continues to grow. It happens through youth confirmation as they come to the Lord's Supper. But more importantly, it happens through adult instruction, because there we often have adults attending who are like the Hellenists. They do not yet believe in Jesus Christ. And it's not at all unusual that a pastor can tell you that during adult instruction, as he shares the message of law and gospel and uses the means of grace, that people come to faith and the church numbers are multiplied as people become Christians through the power of the Holy Spirit.
What is the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law and gospel is that we often think that we have to multiply the church by means of how we're living, or especially in thinking that the work we do creates faith. No. We, in fact, disgrace the name of Jesus when we fail to live as one of his followers who uses the word of God, which is none other than Jesus Christ himself, to share the message. And then the gospel is through that means of grace, the sins of the forgiven people are recognized as being forgiven. They become children of God because they now receive his name as being a Christian, as were the first Christians named in Antioch.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks for your time.
And thank you.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Tim Gagline about church attendance and the loss of community. We'll discuss a Wall Street Journal poll on laws protecting preborn children after 15 weeks gestation. Our guest will be Dr. Michael New, and it's media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Unshaken from Psalm 16:8 is the theme for the 44th academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and encouraging spiritual growth. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the support page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.